This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Good evening, I'm Greg Butcher, bringing you USA Today Sports here on the 17th of April 2023 for RRS Radio Reading Services. Thank you so much for tuning in. After Stephon Diggs' trade, Bills under pressure in NFL draft to answer for mounting losses, Jarrett Bell, USA Today. Stephon Diggs is gone now, but with the clock ticking toward the NFL draft, his memory sure lingers over the Buffalo Bills. Diggs caught 107 passes in 2023, and over the past four seasons, teamed with Josh Allen to form one of the NFL's most lethal passing combinations as Buffalo claimed four consecutive AFC East titles. Go ahead, wonder whether it makes sense. 2 weeks ago, the Bills stunned the NFL universe by trading the Pro Bowl receiver to the Houston Texans for the sum of a second-round pick in next year's draft, which automatically loses some value because of the wait time. Weren't the Bills supposed to be Super Bowl contenders again? In dealing Diggs and bidding farewell to several other key veterans, the Bills suddenly look like a team in overhaul mode. Brandon Bean, of course, disputes the suggestion that they are throwing in the towel. The Bills GM insists that the idea of gunning for a championship in 2024 remains. In any event, the heat is on as the Bills try to keep open the window of perhaps winning big with Allen. Last season with Joe Brady around midseason, taking over an offense that ranked fourth in total yards, Allen was supported by his most consistent running game yet, powered by James Cook. But like any quarterback, he still needed a money receiver, and that would be Diggs again. Now Bean is hard-pressed to replace Diggs' production, which adds up to an NFL high 445 catches, 5,372 yards, and 37 TDs since he was obtained from the Minnesota Vikings in another stunning trade in 2020. Even if Diggs wanted out, which is completely plausible, Bean was so accommodating that the Bills will eat $31 million against his salary cap. Its salary cap, excuse me, this season rather than giving it another year, and he dealt him to a rising AFC contender of all possible suitors that Buffalo could see in the playoff trail. Not so typical. Sure, the last time Diggs was traded for high draft pick, the Minnesota Vikings parlayed that choice, 18th overall, into Justin Jefferson, now among the league's premier players, and wide receiver is arguably the deepest position in the upcoming draft. No fewer than four, and perhaps as many as eight receivers will get off the board in round one, if the mock drafts are to be trusted. The Bills, currently situated with the 28th pick, likely won't get a shot at one of the three receivers pegged to go in the top 10, but perhaps they can address their gaping hole near the end of the first round. Or they could trade up, which is what it might take to land, say, LSU's Brian Thomas Jr. Others likely on Buffalo's radar. Adonai Mitchell, Texas, Ken Coleman, Florida State, Troy Franklin of Oregon, and Ladd McConkey, Georgia. We'll see Diggs as a proven commodity. Rookie receivers, while further along than they used to be when they hit the pros, are not always sure bets. Undoubtedly, third-year pro Khalil Shakur, the only receiver still on the roster from 2023, will get a larger role. The big free agent pickup, Curtis Samuel, is a versatile player who has lined up in the backfield, and now he reunites with Brady from his Carolina days. Yet it's just not the Diggs departure that makes this draft so pivotal for the Bills, who currently hold 10 picks. The other starting wideout, Gabe Davis, is also gone. So is longtime center Mitch Morse. The defense lost cornerback Tre'Davious White, safety Jordan Poyer, linebacker Leonard Floyd, and safety Micah Hyde, too. That's a lot of manpower and leadership taken away from a group that just has had a stranglehold on the AFC East. It underscores the enormous pressure facing Bean and company in this draft. Quote, it's not September, Bean said in the aftermath of the Diggs trade. Every team is a new team. Every year is a new year. I don't think it's fair to assess what the 2024 bills will look like. Let's be patient and let us work through that. End quote. It's not as though the cupboard that Coach Sean McDermott is working with is bare. Bean has done an impressive work in building the roster since arriving with McDermott in 2017. Their first draft netted White, Deion Dawkins, and Matt Milano. The 2018 haul included Allen and Tremaine Edmonds, who last season joined the Chicago Bears on a four-year, $72 million contract. Roster turnover is a given. It's the NFL. The present challenge, though, is to keep the proverbial window open for a team that will be a lot younger this time around. And strapped with virtually no operating room under the salary cap, there are slim options. Bean needs to restock with a deep banner draft class. And hey, if it works out, they can dedicate the class to the memory of Mr. Diggs. Unlike Deion Sanders, Nebraska coach Matt Rhule has been prolific in off-campus recruiting. Colorado coach has his reasons for not making any off-campus recruiting visits. Nebraska coach explains his opposite approach. Brent Schrotenbauer, USA Today. Since his hiring as Nebraska's head football coach in November of 2022, Matt Rhule has visited 108 high schools in several states and has made 486 off-campus contacts with potential recruits, including 123 this past December and January, according to records obtained by USA Today Sports. This is how he builds a program. He hits the road and barnstorms for recruiting prospects every December and January. Quote, I'll be honest with you, it's the only way I know, Rhule told USA Today Sports in an interview. It's the way I was raised. They pay me to recruit, you know, so I'm going to do it, end quote. By contrast, Colorado head coach Deion Sanders has made zero off-campus recruiting trips and hasn't visited any recruits away from Boulder since his hiring there in December of 2022. USA Today Sports reported on this in March, triggering discussions on social media and talk shows about whether Sanders was failing to maximize Colorado's chances for success or whether off-campus recruiting is as necessary today as before, especially in the transfer portal era, with coaches as famous as Sanders. It's debatable. Every coach has a different style, but in this case, there are two extremes between two rival programs under two coaches who got hired at about the same time. Which is right? It depends. What are the recruiting results so far? Colorado upgraded its roster and beat Nebraska last year 36-14. After each coach signed its first recruiting class, Colorado finished 4-8 last year, while Nebraska finished 5-7. This year, Colorado ranks number 22 in the overall recruiting rankings, including transfer recruits, one spot ahead of number 23 Nebraska, according to 247 Sports. But recruiting results usually take years to play out in college, leaving such a stark contrast to raise more questions than it answers in the meantime. USA Today Sports asked Rhule for his reactions to the fact that Sanders hasn't made a single off-campus recruiting visit since his hiring in Boulder. Quote, I just don't want to touch that, Rhule said. He declined to offer his assessment of Sanders' approach, but agreed to go into detail about why he believes off-campus recruiting has been important for his program. Quote, I just think there's a bigger thing we're trying to get done, and that's building a sustainable recruiting model where year after year you have connections in the building, excuse me, and you're one of the first teams people call, Rhule said. To do that, you have to be out, you have to be present, end quote. Rhule 486 off-campus contacts explained, Rhule's program building strategy, it differs from standards in another big respect. He is building mostly with high school players. This 2024 recruiting class includes 31 high school recruits and only 6 transfers, according to 24/7 Sports. Taking an opposite approach, Colorado has been building with transfer players, and its 2024 class has 25 transfers with only 10 high school recruits. That partly explains why Rhule is investing so heavily in high school visits, but there's more to it than that, as both programs prepared to stage their annual intra-squad spring games on April 27th. USA Today Sports requested recruiting records from several Power 5 college programs and still found a range of approaches to recruiting on the road, whether they are heavy on high schools or not. Rule appeared as an outlier among them with one caveat. Nebraska said it measured off-campus recruiting contacts differently. And for an NCAA rule change on August 1st, 2023, before the rule change, Nebraska said it counted any senior high school player in its recruiting database at a school visited by Rule as an off-campus contact, even if Rule was there only to talk to one player. Therefore, a high percentage of those 486 reported contacts came before the change. Even so, Rule had 123 off-campus contacts after the change, all in December of 2023 and January of this year. Showing my face, Rule 49 sees off-campus recruiting as building relationships with high school coaches and players that can pay dividends beyond the current recruiting cycle. Quote, that's a really important thing to me, to make sure that I showed people the respect of coming to their homes, coming to their schools, seeing people that matter to them, Rule said. Then when they come on campus, letting them see the people that are important to me so that we form more of a bond than just a recruiting relationship, end quote. One of those high schools was Elkhorn South High School in Omaha, home of defensive line prospect Ashton Murphy. Rule visited Murphy. Sanders, 56, did not visit him, but one of his assistant coaches last year, then offensive line coach Bill O'Boyle, did visit Murphy, and Colorado was the first Power 5 school to offer him a scholarship. Murphy signed with home state team instead. Quote, I do think it makes a difference, Elkhorn South coach Guy Rosenberg said of off-campus visits from college head coaches. People want to feel important, and they feel important when someone makes a specific effort in a busy time period to come visit them, end quote. That's the conventional wisdom. Virtually all recruits visit college campuses before signing with the team. But if one coach is also visiting recruits in their homes or high schools while another coach is not, that can make a difference in competitive recruiting. LSU's Brian Kelly had 257 off-campus recruiting contacts since December 1st of 22, including at least 46 in-home visits with recruits, according to records obtained by USA Today Sports. Former Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh had 145 off-campus contacts during the same period, compared to 128 for Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian and 55 for former USA LA coach Chip Kelly, including 7 home visits. At Georgia, coach Kirby Smart has used a helicopter to drive his own prolific amount of off-campus visits, the number of which was not immediately available. Before he retired recently, off-campus visits from legendary Alabama coach Nick Saban had become popular moments to photograph for recruits. Times are changing, however. Online Zoom calls have replaced in-person meetings in the workplace. Money and instant gratification are also a bigger part of recruiting than they were just a few years ago. Since 2021, transfers have been allowed to switch schools more freely, while endorsement deals for college athletes were also allowed under NCAA rules for the first time. It's one reason Sanders uses social media and YouTube channels to market his program far more than most. But Rule doesn't think these developments eliminate the need for recruiting on the road. Quote, maybe it matters less. I don't know, Rule said. For me, you're trying to promote your brand. You're trying to build connections, trying to talk to the guidance counselor and the principal. Transfer recruits and visits. Besides Sanders, virtually all major college head coaches have an on and off campus approach to recruiting. They bring recruits to campus to show them their programs and facilities while visiting recruits at their high schools or homes. Sanders only does on-campus recruiting and has his reasons for it, which he said include saving the university travel expenses and mostly recruiting transfer players instead of high school recruits. Quote, we target mostly guys that's in the transfer portal, Sanders said in response to the initial USA Today story of his 0 off-campus visits. When do you make visits to portal guys' homes? Anybody do that? Do they do that? Anybody have you guys heard of that? End quote. He has a point. It happens, just not anywhere near as often as with high school recruits. Transfer players previously went through the full recruiting process in high school and might not want or need another parade of home visits from college coaches. But sometimes they do select their transfer destination based on coaches who visited them as high school recruits. Rural and transfer students, recruits. For example, Ohio State coaches went to see Alabama safety Caleb Downs this year before he transferred to Ohio State, among other examples. Downs already knew the Ohio State coaches from his high school recruitment. Likewise, Rule previously served as head coach at Baylor, where he recruited offensive lineman Micah Mezcua and wide receiver Josh Fleeks. Both transferred to Nebraska after Rule was hired there. Quote, sometimes part of this concept of going out and knowing all the high school coaches and seeing people, sometimes those are the student athletes who eventually transfer back to you, Rule said. To me, these things aren't always linear. They're not always the exact recruiting class. End quote. Rule said he hasn't visited many transfer recruits off campus, but that his limited recruiting of transfers has benefited from his previous visits to see high school players. Quote, the portal is so fast, Rule said, normally you're flying them in. A lot of them I had previous connections to. We took Micah Mezcua this year, and we visited him out of high school, end quote. Sanders to visit Rule in September. Sanders, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, might be the only coach in America who can rely on his fame alone as a magnet to attract recruits to campus and who doesn't necessarily need to go on the road to make an impression with recruits and their families. Quote, I really, truly, with all my heart, believe that parents don't want me at their house, Sanders said in an unsolicited speech about the topic March 20th. They want to come see my house. They want to see how I live, how I get down. They want to see what I've got going on, what God has done in my life, end quote. It's not clear if Sanders has literally brought recruits to his home or just the Boulder campus. Rule said he wants his recruits to visit both. Quote, as many people as possible that are coming to play for us, I want to be in their home, Rule said. When they come to visit here, I want them to come see our campus. I also want them to come to our home and meet my wife and meet my kids, end quote. Even Sanders himself will pay a different sort of visit to Rule later this year. Nebraska hosts Colorado in Lincoln on September 7th. Zion Williamson shines in postseason debut, but leg injury leaves status in question. Steve Gardner, USA Today. Zion Williamson had a memorable postseason debut Tuesday night, dropping in 40 points and pulling down 11 rebounds in the New Orleans Pelicans' 110-106 loss to the Los Angeles Lakers. However, a mysterious leg injury that kept him out of the game for the final 3 minutes may be of greater concern than the loss. With their season on the line, Williamson's status for the Pelicans' game on Friday against the Kings remain up in the air. Well, right now, his left leg soreness that he's going to get imaging on tomorrow. Pelicans coach Willie Green said after the game, we will figure out more. That's the report I got back. I haven't talked to him, but we'll see what happens tomorrow when we get the results back. Although the Pelicans have been part of the NBA's play-in round the past two seasons, Williamson did not participate in any of their games due to injuries. However, this season he's largely been able to avoid the injury bug. Williamson played a career-high 70 games during the regular season, averaging 22.9 points and 5.8 rebounds per contest. Quote, it was tough to see him go down, Green said. We're all praying and hoping that he's okay. 2024 Olympics are only 100 days away. Here's how Team USA is shaping up for Paris. Tom Shadd, USA Today. New York. The Olympic flame has officially been lit. The 2024 Paris Games are now exactly 100 days away, and for Team USA, it's already time for final preparations. You can feel the energy and the excitement building, certainly inside the walls of our organization, but around the country also. U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee Chief Executive Officer Sarah Hirschland said Monday, after COVID-19 reduced the past two editions of the Olympic Games to made-for-TV events with fewer no spectators in the stands, the Paris Olympics have been trumpeted as a return to normalcy. There will be no mandatory masks or daily nasal swabs. Arenas are expected to be filled with fans as well as athletes, family members, and friends. Instead of being partially or completely contained in a bubble, the Paris Games will largely take place in and around the heart of Paris. For local organizers, the hope is that these games are defined by both that openness and the ambiance that Paris will provide, from the audacious opening ceremony that will have athletes floating down the Seine River to landmarks like the Eiffel Tower serving as backdrops for venues. But for Team USA, the goal remains the same. Well, we want to win the medal count. USOPC Chief of Sports and Athlete Services, Rocky Harris, said Monday. As the Olympics inch closer, much of Team USA is still being built. Here's how the team is shaping up with 100 days to go until the Paris Games, including the major qualifying events that are still on the horizon and the names you need to know. Excuse me, who is on the Team USA roster so far? Harris said there will be more than 800 athletes on Team USA across both the Olympics and Paralympics, but only 89 Olympic athletes and 44 Paralympics have qualified by name so far. With the trials coming up and all the good events coming up over the next 3 months, this is really go time for us, Harris said. Rowers, sailors, and shooters make up the majority of Olympians who have qualified for Team USA to date, in part because their sports have already hosted Olympic trials. Among the other early qualifiers are 2021 gold medalists Nevin Harrison, canoe, and Carissa Moore, surfing, as well as breakers Victor Montalvo and Sonny Choi, who will represent Team USA in the Olympic debut of breaking, a freestyle dance form also known as breakdancing. The U.S. has also selected 5 marathoners that will represent it in Paris and name its 3x3 men's basketball team, which will feature former NBA player and BYU star Jimmer Fredette. The 3x3 team did not qualify for the Tokyo Games. When are the 2024 Olympic trials in gymnastics, other key sports? Several of the most high-profile Olympic sports athletes can book their tickets to the Games only by performing well at the Olympic trials. Some athletes lament that the competition in their event at the Olympic trials is almost as daunting as the Games themselves. Here are the dates and locations for the Olympic trials in several key sports over the next 2+ months. The Olympic teams in these sports are usually finalized and announced within a week or two of the trials' conclusion. Wrestling, April 19th to 20th in State College, Pennsylvania. Swimming, June 15th to 23 in Indianapolis. Track and field, June 21st through 30th in Eugene, Oregon. And gymnastics, June 27th to 30th in Minneapolis. What are Team USA's strongest sports? The U.S. has won more gold medals in track and field, 343, than in any other summer sport, though that is at least partly because the sport has so many events. It's had similar historic and consistent success in swimming. In terms of sheer dominance, Team USA's strongest sport is probably basketball. The U.S. women will be vying for their 8th consecutive gold medal, while the men are trying to make it 5 in a row. The men's team in Paris will feature a loaded squad with LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant among its 12 members. More recently, the U.S. has had success in some of the newer Olympic sports, including gold in surfing and silver in sport climbing at the 2021 Games. Its women's water polo team has been near unbeatable, winning each of the past 3 Olympic golds. Is Simone Biles back for Paris? Biles will have to wait until the Olympic trials in late June to officially book her ticket to the Paris Games, but she is effectively a shoe-in. After a bout of the twisties prompted by her largely withdrawal from competition at the Tokyo Olympics, Biles returned to competition last fall and appeared as dominant as ever, cruising to victory in the individual all-around final at the 2023 World Championship. She also won golds in the team event as well as on balance beam and in floor exercise. Barring any surprises, Biles will be heavily favored to win her 2nd all-around Olympic gold medal in Paris. She has earned 7 Olympic gold medals, 4 gold in her career to date. Who are the other big names? Shailese Jones was Biles' closest competition last year and figures to be in the mix alongside 2021 gold medalist Suni Lee, who has been sidelined for parts of the past few years with a kidney ailment. Team USA also figures to have a star-studded team on the track, starting with sprinter Noah Lyles, who will be trying to replicate his World Championships performance last year, in which he won a trio of golds in the 100-meter dash, 200-meter dash, 4x100-meter relay. Sha'Carri Richardson sprints, Fred Curley sprints, Ryan Krauser shot put, Sidney Laughlin, Lavrone, 400-meter hurdles, and Athing Mu, 800 meters are among other big names contending for gold. And in swimming, Katie Ledecky will hope to add to the 7 Olympic golds she's earned over the past 3 Summer Games, while Lily King and Ryan Murphy will be among other U.S. athletes who could leave Paris with multiple medals. Who are the rising stars for Team USA? Many of them are on the women's side. The basketball and soccer teams have yet to be finalized, but could feature some huge young stars, including Trinity Robin and Sophia Smith in soccer, and maybe, just maybe, Caitlin Clark in hoops. Swimmers Kate Douglas, 22, and Katie Grimes, 18, and Regan Smith, 22, all competed as teenagers in Tokyo and should be even more competitive at their second games. And Amit Alor, 21, is a reigning world champion in wrestling who has been touted as a potential future star. Lakers lock up number 7 seed with play-in tournaments win over Pelicans, setting up a rematch with the Nuggets. Jeff Zilgut, USA Today. New Orleans Pelicans didn't have to win Tuesday's play-in tournament game against the Los Angeles Lakers. For their collective psyche, they needed to win the game given their abysmal outing Sunday in the regular season finale with a guaranteed spot of the first round of the Western Conference playoffs on the line. The Lakers clobbered the Pelicans 124-108 Sunday, creating a rematch Tuesday in a play-in game with the number 7 seed at stake. Pelicans followed up a disastrous performance with a much better but still inadequate performance marked by the late-game exit by Zion Williamson, who sustained an injury and didn't play the final 3:13 with the game on the line. The Lakers defeated the Pelicans 110-106 Tuesday, but the Lakers will play the number 2 seed Denver Nuggets in the first round best-of-7 series starting Saturday in Denver. And while that's not an ideal matchup for the Lakers, they have lost 8 consecutive games to Denver, including a sweep in last season's conference finals and 3 regular season games in 2023-24. At least the Lakers are in the first round. The same cannot be said for the Pelicans. They need to win Friday at home against the Golden State Sacramento winner to get the number 8 seed in first round series against top-seeded Oklahoma City. Williamson came to play after scoring just 12 points on 13 shots in Sunday's loss. He had a game-high 40 points and collected 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. He didn't get enough help in the playoff experience from the Lakers, especially from LeBron James and Anthony Davis, subdued New Orleans. James wasn't as magnificent as his 28 points, 17 assists, 11 rebound, triple-double performance Sunday, but he had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, and Davis had 20 points, 15 rebounds, and 3 blocks. So ends our time here on Radio Reading Services with USA Today Sports. I'm Greg Butcher signing off. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Next Wednesday, I hope you tune in at that time. Your day is healthy and your week is healthy and enjoyable.